Good morning out there on Zoom. Be sure to put yourself on mute. We're glad to have you guys join us. Looking to the day when everybody can join us in person, as long as there is no type of illness or ailments that's keeping you from doing that. We're looking forward to doing that. So guys, I want to thank Scott, first of all, for jumping in to do the communion this morning. We didn't have enough to do it. But he reminded me of the scripture, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:4. It says, be prepared in season and out of season.
Yes.
And you know, talking about correcting people, but also talking about to encourage. And I thought it was amazing that you know, he was like, hey, great scripture this morning. I'll be happy to take the podium. I'm like, come on, brother. Come on. And that's all. So really grateful for him jumping into service that way to inspire us about Jesus and the cross. Julia also did a great job with this contribution that she's like, okay, I love it. I love it. Just, you know, just about, you know, giving, just, I think what scripture says, consider giving. Mm-hmm. And I think that's God's way of acknowledging.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we need to give. We need to give, and we need to be in our heart to want to give and give accordingly. So I thought that was amazing and encouraging. So guys, we're into this new series where we're talking about treasuring God, and then midweek we've been talking about treasuring the creation. We'll be finishing up the last part of that on Wednesday. But while we're waiting to finish that on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about this next little series up here. It's still treasuring, it's talking about treasuring the church.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. We have some type of value here too. Treasuring the church. You know, one thing we've been talking about is treasuring God by beginning the conversation with treasuring creation, which involves God's ancient plan. Treasuring creation shows that God's desire for us in relation to Him and to one another have not changed, but instead God is restoring what is the original existence. And this is before the fall of man as we know it. We're going to be over in Matthew 6 this morning. That's where we're going to start at. And when you treasure something, man, it really means something to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there are a whole bunch of popular passages in scripture. I like what Scott say. Hey, it's my favorite scripture.
Today. Yeah.
There you go, today. I wonder what the Lord thinks about that. So what's your favorite today? You know? So one of the most popular scriptures we're going to talk about over here is Matthew 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. It says, but store for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal.
That's right.
And it's up for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
Come on.
You know, why do we need to hear this at this moment? Or, I guess, why is this lacking in the world and also in the church today? Just to think about what to treasure. Sometimes we can become so familiar with the passage that it actually loses its weight in our walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
We must fight against the tendency of letting go of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is life-reviving truth in the Word of God.
That's right.
It tells us how to get our hearts into heaven. And believe it or not, it involves the word treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It says, hey, where your heart is where your treasure is.
Yeah.
Treasure is a loaded word. So let's get on this. You have a treasure. Have is a key word here. You have a treasure. I know that when I grew up, and maybe some of you remember this, grandma, aunties, or ladies, they used to have treasure chests on their dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And their treasure chests would hold what? Their jewelry, their earrings. Man. And then there are those of us where we can choose to treasure things such as like a memory.
Mm. Yeah.
We have memories that we treasure in life. There's certain things like that. Yeah, I remember that memory. Now, for me, I feel like, man, I've become more and more like my parents. Like, I really get it, the nostalgia fact, but I like to watch Kojak.
I watch
it. The lollipop in the sack.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The platform shoes are something else, man. I'm like, this brother wears a platform shoe.
Yeah.
And I watch Coach Jack and I'm like, wow, look at the city. Look at this old film. That's the thing about, man, what was I doing at my grandma's house? This was running back in the mid-70s. And it just brings back those memories of times like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is awesome. So I can find myself binging on all the seasons of Kojak just going through it in this thing.
Come on.
He was just so cool with his grim on and everything. Just walking his glasses, his shades on. I was like, I could have been a Kojak.
What did he say? He said, hey, baby, or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, love you, baby, yeah. He is something else. But there's just memories that we treasure like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, treasure is the noun. Treasure, again, is the noun form. And it means something or someone valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But to treasure is the verb form, and it means to consider something or consider someone valuable.
Yes.
You know, so we can read this particular scripture, and it says, do not lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And we can read it this way. Don't treasure treasures on earth, but treasure treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why is this so important? Let me share a story with you. This was this businesswoman. And, you know, she really did groomed herself, went to college, really got into business, got into political science, really just got into the things of the world. And I mean, she really worked hard and she climbed the ladder of success. And along the way, God reached out to her several times. Now, she did some great things for charity along the way. And she gets her areas there, but she never would make that adequate time for God, to connect with God. By meeting with the church, meeting with the body, you know, just that doing that part. She just got caught up in like, you know, hey, well, I give, it's okay, God knows my heart and all this stuff. And so she goes on and she lives her life. Well, somewhere along the way in her life, she has an accident and she loses her life. And so she gets there, ready to get into heaven, but they say there's some question about whether or not you belong with the church or not. And he said, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to send you on a little trip for a day or so. So she hops in this elevator and she goes down and she gets down to the bottom. And at the bottom of the elevator, she's welcomed by this guy. He is shaped in every form and way that she desired. He's cut, he's everything she needs. She gets there, she sees all her friends out there chilling on this beautiful beach. And everybody's enjoying life, they're drinking, it's like, oh, this is great, and she spends the whole day there, she's like, man, this is awesome. Well, God sends somebody down again, say it's time to go and everything, she's like, oh, God, I really don't want to go. But she said, guys, I'll be back, I just got to go through this, God just want me to go through this process. So she gets back in the elevator, and they take her back up, and God says, so now that you've had a chance to spend a day down there, and you're there, you just want to ask you a question. Do you want to go back down there, or do you want to come into heaven and be a part of the church? And she said, and she picked him in, and she said, God, you know, I really thought about this, and I really appreciate all that you've done, and an opportunity you give me, but I think I want to go back down there with them. And he says, are you sure? And she says, I'm sure. And he says, okay. He said, all right. So she hops back at in. She's in the elevator, she's all excited, she's all happy, she's like, yeah, going down, it's going to be fun, friends on the beach, drinking, life is going to be great. She gets down there, and the elevator door opens, and she sees all her friends and everybody in pain, agony, screaming, they're being tortured, the beach scene is gone, and it's just total chaos. And she's like, wait a minute, what happened? Wait a minute, this is not where I've been. And the guy who used to be the hunk and all shaped right, you know, she's like, who are you? What's going on? What happened? He said, oh, yesterday we were recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
They were recruiting. Why is it so important to be careful what you treasure?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can treasure this world, but you got to realize God's trying to rescue you. The world's trying to recruit you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is why it's important to watch what you treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says this. He's talking about your desires, your character, your intentions, and your decisions, and ultimately your being. In other words, those who treasure treasures in heaven will find themselves in heaven.
Yep.
And like those who treasures the treasures on earth, Well, you know where they'll find themselves at. Mm-hmm. And that's not where you want to be. Now, woman asked, how do I know if I am treasuring something that is on earth versus something that is in heaven? Well, I love it. Jesus says this in the passage, and he explains the difference. He mentions, guess what? Let me tell you where the treasure on earth looks like. He says, it's where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in. Mm-hmm. And steal.
Yeah.
Yep. He says, but the place where heaven is at, where the church should be, he says, this place is where it cannot be destroyed and thieves can't break in.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
Are you treasuring the church?
Come on.
And what the church is and where the church is going to be. Treasures on earth, they won't last. They will not last at all. They are not secure because they are temporary. But treasures in heaven, they will last, and they are completely safe. Why? Because it is eternal. It is God's people, a place of righteousness. Therefore, if you are going to treasure treasures in heaven, you must understand what the elements, you must understand what elements of life the Bible says are eternal. And earthly things are not eternal.
That's right.
We're going to turn to Psalms 42. And while you're turning there, I want you to understand we are going to get into a series based on eternal things. But today we're going to focus on treasuring the church because the church is certainly eternal. You know, Psalms 42, you guys are really going to get this here. You're going to get this individual, this writer, as you go to Psalms 42. You're going to relate and identify with it so much. Psalms 42. Verse 1, it says, of course, this is for the director of music, Maskil of the sons of Korah. It says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I poured out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Meron, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to God for my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Amen.
This writer is clearly struggling.
Yeah.
He's thirsty for God. His soul is downcast. And the assault isn't just within him. He's not struggling with him. But his faith is being attacked by others as they ask him, where is your God? Here's a question for you. Have you ever felt like this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man, has your faith ever been in question?
Yep.
Yes.
We get this guy, don't we? You know, in the psalm, the writer is trying to direct his soul back to God for comfort. And one of the ways he tries to do this is by remembering his time at the house of God.
Yeah.
being connected with the church. We can't overlook this. The role of the church in our lives is destiny. Times get hard. Life gets overwhelming. We need the church to keep us faithful and bring us back to God.
Yes.
Yes.
You see, this passage doesn't just give us what the treasure is, but also how to treasure it.
Yes.
You know, you need to fall in love with God's word. You need to read it. Yes. You need to write it down. You need to see the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You need to share it with others. And you need to pray the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
How do we treasure? Here's a great example in verse 4. He says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." How do we treasure memories? We need to remember when we come to the house of the Lord. I can remember, I've been around a long time, I can remember going to just so many of our different meetings with brothers and sisters of the world. Those memories are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
They got me to stay faithful. They got me to stay on track. Yes. They remind me that God is good. They remind me that what God is doing is good.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so even though the world tries to press on me from
this side, that side, from this opinion, that opinion, from this word, God reminds me the church is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The church is a safe place. The
right.
church is where I exist.
Amen.
God says, yes, I created the world. But my relationship, my interaction is going to be with the church in eternity,
mm-hmm.
not with the world. We need to treasure the memory of the church. We need to treasure moments like these so that when the days get tough or they get rough, as we know it, we have something to lead us back to the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to treasure us to God. All right, guys, we're going to start finishing up here. Protecting the church. We all know about protecting something.
Yes.
Yeah. I am privileged and honored to have brothers in the kingdom. There's probably some sisters too, that's probably been here. But have brothers in the kingdom, in the church, who share with me about protecting family. I love those conversations. Now, I'm not a gun-toting person, just not in. But I love having conversations with the brothers who are. I got a brother back up north who's a gun toting. I was sharing with some of the brothers. We'd be on the fishing boat. He's, you guys know what the fanny pack?
Yeah.
The defensive pack? I never thought nothing of it. I was like, we fishing. I thought maybe he's got some food with gum up in there. Nah, he would be packing. I'm like, but my thing is like, who's going to rob us out the middle of a lake on a boat? That's me. Who's going to rob us out the middle of a lake on a boat? He's like, see it? You just never know. But, yeah. I'm like, we're in the public place. Here's the thing that somebody said.
Right.
He said, you know, Timmy said, you know, somebody might pull us on the side of the boat. And, you know, he said, I got my fanny pack. I was like, all this time, I'm thinking we can pass some other stuff in there. And I'm just fishing. I'm just totally naive and everything. But he always come preparing the trip. I never knew that. But, you know, I think about that, his way of protecting and me not knowing. Me just being like, me just enjoying fishing. I'm enjoying life. You know, I didn't have to worry about that. You know, and I was sharing with another brother. I said, well, why don't we just push them off into the lake? I mean, in the middle of the bottom, where they want to rob them, they just fall in the water and we can swim. You know, but you know, brother, you're like, I don't know about that, you know. So, but God has always protected us when we least expect it.
Amen.
Right.
We think like, well, I'm the water. Man, we just enjoy life, whatever. And God's like, it's okay, too. You just fish and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful for brothers and sisters, you know, who, and I believe God uses them to get that perspective of protecting. I may not always agree with it, or may not, but you know, it's like, you know, protecting. Just protecting what we love, just doing what's right. So I said to say, we've got to protect the church.
Mm-hmm.
Protect the church. No, you don't have to take up arms to protect the church. You don't have to take them up to protect the church. Open John chapter 2.
We've got to protect the church. And believe it or not, we got to protect the church against us, the people.
That's right.
People. You know, when I do marriage, we have marriage counseling with people. One of the things I always tell the two individuals getting married, I say, you know what? The people you have to worry about attacking your marriage is not the people on the outside, because you can't control them. Mm-hmm. It's the two of you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You've got to be unified on the same page.
Come on.
Attacks is going to come. But if you two are unified and you're truly being one as God created, and if you guys are committed to it, you'll be okay. But if you're not working as one, you two are the biggest and the most dangerous threat to your marriage.
Yep.
In the church, we've got to be unified, work together with God. We are the biggest threat to the church.
Yes.
The world going to do what it's going to do. The world been hating long before we even showed up.
Yeah.
The world's always going to hate. But we in the church are the biggest threat to our unity.
Come on.
That's it. We can't let the outside influences get in here and tear us down. Mm-hmm. And we cannot let our own selves, because there's some things about us that we have to work on.
Cut it out.
Get out of there. And yes, amen, cut it out. Get in there and damage the church. But over in John chapter 2, I love this. Jesus clears the temple. John chapter 2.
Come on.
Verse 13, he says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. Mm-hmm. His disciples remember that it is written. It's good to remember scripture.
Amen.
Remember it's written. Zeal for your house will pursue me.
You know, protecting church is about having zeal for God's house.
That's right.
And it's not the building.
It is not.
It is the people.
Yes.
Zeal for that. You know, Jesus walks into the temple and sees people making a mockery of God's house. There were people using God's house as a place of selfish gain.
Wow.
To exploit people's desires to worship by selling what they need. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said one time it's almost like renting Bibles in a pew. I've never been to a church like that, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's one that exists that does that.
Wow.
You know, they were also hindering people's worship. They would set up shop in the court of the Gentiles, the only place they could worship. Think about this. Imagine this was the only place that we could worship, and people had tried to sell stuff, exploiting you because they know you need it.
You know, Jesus saw these things, and it says that he said, he drove everybody out, and the disciples remembered it. It said that zeal for God's house would consume him. And he cleared out the temple. In other words, he takes out the trash.
Yep.
You know, zeal for God's house would consume us. We should be consumed. That zeal should really consume us. You know, Jesus knows the importance of worshiping together, and he sought to protect the house of God.
Yes.
Here's a question. Are we as a church protective over God's house?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, are we protective? Do we seek to get rid of the things hindering our time together?
Tell the truth.
Now, we may not be selling things, keeping people from physical place of worship, but we still need to make sure that we are protecting God's house by taking out the trash.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to share a few things that are trash that need to be gone. Selfishness.
Oh my goodness. That needs to be removed out of the house of God.
Yes.
Come on.
Selfishness. It's all about me. Selfishness is about self-centered worship. It's all about me. Distractions. Let the mess of the world stay out of the world.
Yep.
This is the house of God. We're going to keep it pure.
Amen.
We're going to keep it pure. Let the mess of the world. Trust me. When we leave out this door today, guess what? The world is waiting on us.
Yeah. Yep.
And get this. We may have here in our fellowship, in our singing, and in the preaching, and all the messages, we may spend about 2 hours together here. You've got 10 more hours to deal with the mess of the world.
Yep.
Leave it out there. Leave it there. When you get together with each other one-on-one, leave the mess of the world out of your conversation.
Come on.
Because guess what? When you get done with that conversation, on that deep time, in that fellowship time, got a whole another 9 hours.
Yep.
And the world's going to be beaten. Protect the church.
Amen.
Protect one another. We got to work together to make sure that we're on the same page, same accord, and we're going to protect this house.
Amen.
The man do the old Reebok commercial. Protect this house. Hindrance. That's another trash they need to get rid of. Talking about judgment, pride, and past issues. You can't move forward holding on to the past. You can't do it. You can't move forward. The past has its place in your future, but its place is not for you to say, guess what? I'm going to beat you down over and over because I don't want to let it go. Or you beat yourself down over and over because you won't let it go. And you can't move forward. Judgment.
Come on.
God says we can hold each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
God said, I didn't give you the keys to heaven and hell for you to tell somebody where they're going.
That's right.
You got to understand how judgment works. Pride. I tell you what, I wish we could just eliminate that thing altogether.
Yeah.
That thing kills every time. For those of us been running around, if you could just go back and be like, God, pride killed this situation, this issue, this relationship.
Yeah.
I could have made a great business decision here. Pride just kills everything.
Right.
And then we're left with that. I wish I would have, should have, could have.
Right.
We got to take out the trash. Keep it out the church. We got to protect the church. You know, guys, in conclusion, we want to treasure treasures that are in heaven, the eternal kingdom of God, not treasures on earth. And the only treasures that will be in his eternal kingdom are the things that are eternal. One of those things is the church.
That's right.
Get that? The church is going to be there. What is the church? It's the relationships that we make with the people of God. These are the people that you plan on being with forever.
That's right.
And ever. And ever.
Yeah.
And ever.
Yeah.
Protect the church.
That's right.
Take the trash out in your own life so that you can live with somebody forever and forever and forever.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
God knows what he's doing. Let's just rest assured.
Yes, he does.
All right.
I found myself standing in the mirror this morning, getting myself together. I was like, Lord, you know what? A better businessman. I heard God say, you know what, Sidney? Just let me handle this, okay? I've been thinking like, Lord, if I'd have did this and did that, I could have been doing this and doing that. And God always had the way like, you know what? Let me handle this. It's okay. God knows what he is doing. And he created the church for a reason. He knows that we need one another. We need to treasure one another. Did you get that? We need to treasure one another now before we get to heaven, because we won't make it without one another.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
In this world, troubles will come and we will feel overwhelmed.
Yes, sir.
It's in those moments that we have to remember what God has done in our lives through his people.
Yes.
His church. We need to treasure our memories. We need to treasure the church. We need to remember we are the lighthouse to the world, a people belonging to a mighty God, a people who are eternal beings.
Yes.
So in closing, let's imitate Jesus. Take God's house, take out the trash, and treasure the church. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.